Hello everybody, this is Clint Locklear with a rant of a free trapper. Maybe I called this thing the wrong thing, I'm not sure. Maybe it should be thoughts from a free trapper, but since we started with rant, we'll go on with that. Now today is definitely not a rant, and it is more of just thoughts. And I think there is a lesson here that in our society that you might want to pay attention to, and at the very minimum, teach your children this, just because it makes a big difference in what their life is like. Now, to me, it saddens me, and I'm being very honest here, it saddens me that people have such a hard time communicating with each other. Now, it's clear that everybody has their jerseys on, and everybody automatically jumps to the conclusion that they think somebody else is saying, whether it be liberal or conservative, business owner being greedy, all these type things. It's very clear that's the way that we think today. And it's, we can't communicate. And if we can't communicate and we don't understand each other, this divide in America and in families and in wives and in children and parents, it just keeps getting worse and worse. Because you can't communicate. If you can't talk without being aggressive, cynical, passive-aggressive inside of a conversation. Like, how many times have you talked to somebody that maybe doesn't have the same exact views and you're just waiting for them to stop talking so you can pounce with why they're wrong, why you're right, why something, they don't understand something, you're smarter than they are, whatever it is, you don't even listen to them. As soon as you pick up on a phrase in there, You're like sitting back, you're locking and loading a 50 cal to blow their brains out. See, that's not communication. That's definitely not any type of dialogue. And I think it keeps humans into the phase that we're in now, where we think that we need a government. Because if we're always acting like 4-year-old children, arguing back and forth, you need a parent. If you can talk to people and get a grasp, you don't have to agree with them. But see, here's the interesting things that people that have a lot of power never want you to do is have an open dialogue with somebody that has different views than you. Because it becomes pretty clear, even with the most radical, liberal, progressive, that you have more in common with them than you want to admit or think. They look at the world different. They talk different. They see issues where you don't, and you might find that some of their issues are actually pretty righteous, but they go about it in a way that you don't agree with. But since no one ever talks, you just sit there and fight and fight and fight and fight. And see, the interesting thing about, and this is not about government today, but it's the interesting thing, as long as the government has everybody split, that means there is no individual power in America. Because everybody cancels everybody out. It's absolutely genius in how that works. But I heard a podcast the other day, and it's Russell Thaddeus, that you can look him up on Stitcher or anything. He's got let me pull this up on my phone real quick, and I can tell you exactly what his podcast is. But I must warn you, if you think you like thinking, and you really are closed-minded, you will not like his podcast, because it is definitely forcing you to think. It's called The Unregistered. Unregistered with Thaddeus Russell. And that's the podcast. He's got a bunch of them. He's more of a libertarian anarchist. Grew up very liberal from Berkeley, had hippie parents, all this type of stuff. Over his lifetime, he thinks that one of the main resistance that people have against tyranny is always to resist everything. And that's definitely not what Americans do today. But it's a very interesting podcast that if you're very close-minded or you've never really thought about subjects, I promise you, you'll find yourself running for the door, screaming at the top of your lungs, because it's not a bumper sticker, type talk show like Sean Hannity or something like that. It's definitely not like that. It's very highly intelligent people that discuss different things. Like the one I listened to yesterday, which was freaking awesome, was about a libertarian columnist that made her living as a stripper being a bull dyke feminist and what her life was like. It was amazing. And it put things in different perspective for me that makes me think. So maybe I'm not so quick to make judgments on something that I don't know anything about. But the podcast that I'm talking about, guys, is he sat down with a socialist Marxist. And there was no passive aggressive at all from one to the other. Now, Russell is not a Marxist or socialist. He's a firm believer in capitalism, but he can see that there are issues within capitalism. See, it's okay to believe in something and still mistrust it a little bit. Still trying to figure out, is there more of an ethical way to do something? Because it's clear, in the socialist in here admits it, well, there's no way to get around the facts. The only way to bring poor people out of poverty is capitalism. That's it. That's the only way. In the last 20 years, the bottom of the world has been moving up. Not as fast as the top 1%, if you want to use that term. But it's the only thing that when you get it in different countries, poor people have a chance not to be poor. And the socialists agreed to it. Now, see, I've listened to a lot of socialists, but it's always it's always in this, you know, format like Fox News or Sean Hannity or Mark Levin or Glenn Beck or somebody like that. And it's just sitting there shooting volleys at each other. And everybody's trying to not get caught in the I got you. And there's not a lot of honesty because it's purely agenda driven. And what Russell does in this with this socialist Marxist is they just had an adult. It's one of the, I'm 48 years old. I've never heard an adult conversation with a socialist or a Marxist and a capitalist. It was amazing. It really was amazing. Because I've never could understand why a socialist or Marxist would think the way that they do. How could they, do they really believe what they're saying? Is it just a political action group or something like that? So I really didn't know. Now, one of the main things in most in socialism and Marxism, if you're not really, I'm not talking about the you know the bumper sticker definitions of what those are, but I mean, really, what it boils down to from listening to this guy talk is they see the worker being oppressed by the owner of a business. And that's always seemed strange to me. I mean, that really has seemed strange to me. Because if you need a job, you need a job, and that's going to have to come from somebody that created that job. I mean, that's just kind of the way that it is. And since the business owner, and if you've never started a business, you may think that I'm just making this up. The business owner should make more than the worker. Because in most businesses, in the real world, most business owners fail before they succeed. So they lose their house, they lose all the money they put into it, they've lost all those years of their time. I mean, all of that has real value to that person. And then they try something else. And, you know, like business owners, like I can tell you, if we have slow months, Travis gets paid and I don't get paid. Most businesses, the bosses and investors of those businesses put in capital and risk, and they do not get paid the way workers do. Because a worker comes in and he's trading hours for time. He works so many hours. The agreement is so much money. The worker has no risk. He had no startup cost. He doesn't have to do anything with the marketing. He didn't have to do anything. He comes in and does a task, and he's paid for that task. In that. Now, the business owner is responsible for what that employee does. He's responsible for keeping the bills paid so he can actually pay the employee. He's the one that mortgaged his house. He's the one that took all these business loans that his name is on. He's the one that had to go stay away from home and try to sell this to all these different people. all of this over these years are built up to, at one point, the business owner can actually start making money. And we're talking more about traditional businesses here, not a revenue stream, for example. Because if a revenue stream can't start generating money in 6 months, something's wrong with it. So I'm talking about like a standard business. Say we're going to start a business and start making floor mats. Something like that. More of a traditional type, 20 years ago business. So the owner makes more money. Well, the socialists and Marxists don't think that's fair, because once the worker is in the structure that the capitalist put in there, it's not showing the true value of the work that the employee is doing. And that is absolutely true. I've never heard it in that term. So if Travis is making lure for me, and I've got a 30% markup on that lure above the product and above his labor, Travis is not getting any of the 30% above that of his labor. Of course, he didn't have to build the business either. But the true value of Travis working here more goes to me than it does to him. And if it was in a utopian type way, Travis would get the same percentage of whatever his labor is that I would get on my labor. But that's not the way a capitalistic system works, because the owner has taken all that risk, put all that money in and all that time and everything I just said a minute ago. So it wouldn't be fair to the owner to, as soon as he got his business to go up and running, you take it away from him and you give it to the, quote, people that hasn't done anything up to that point. So yes, there is a deficiency of the labor that a worker gives to a business, because that's how a business makes profit. That's where it's coming from. And a socialist sees that as bad. So I'm listening to this guy, and I can definitely see his point. Now, what was amazing in here is the Marxist socialist in this podcast admitted that without a capitalist, without an entrepreneur, without a business owner, there would be no jobs for the workers to work at, because workers had made a choice not to be a business owner or an entrepreneur. They made a choice to be a worker. So unless someone takes all that risk and does all that's needed to do to start a business, there would be nothing there for the worker. And he admitted that, which I was amazed at. And he also said some things in there as being a lifelong socialist and Marxist, that it used to infuriate him growing up in college, believing what he believed, and he meets a libertarian. The libertarian starts talking economics. And the economics of socialism in Marxist doesn't work. And as someone that understands money and how businesses work, to a Marxist or a socialist, if I chose to, I could beat them across the head and shoulders with economics to the point that they're screaming for their mother in the fetal position. And it would destroy everything that they thought they believed up until we started having that conversation. And that's what was happening with him. Now, Russell, being the libertarian, capitalist, he was kind of laughing, because that's his way of dealing with Marxism and socialism. Marxism and socialism lives in this plane of what could be if, and a libertarian is more in the what is and how it works. And so you're dealing with a socialist that's dealing with a futuristic what if everything was perfect, to someone that's looking at it as what is now. And so that you have this conflict, because they're not both in reality. One's in reality and one's in almost an intellectual abstract way of looking at how business and people's income could be. But I found this so interesting to listen to both of them. Now, as further questions went down the road where they are having this open, non-aggressive conversation, it became clear that the capitalist, and I will agree with Russell, not in the same way, but I will agree with Russell that pure capitalism, pure unadulterated capitalism, could be better. See, part of the reason I like permaculture so much is it's ethical. So when you make a decision inside a permaculture system, guys, you look at the ethics. Is it going to be good for people? Is it going to be good for the piece of ground or the environment or for your neighbors and for yourself? See, it doesn't matter if it's on your property or not. You look at what you do through these ethics. Because there's things you can do that could get production that can hurt the environment and hurt the people that are using it. Think of the overly use of chemicals and the cancer rates within farmers and stuff like that. So if a permaculturist is looking at that from the beginning, he'd probably go, we need to figure out a way without the chemical usage because there's no people care there because it's going to make people sick, and it does. And it's going to destroy the soil life and the fertility of the soil, which it does. So that's a non-starter for a permaculturist because there's ethics. And it'd be nice in science if science was ethical, but it's not, because science can do things that if you looked at it from an ethical point of view, they wouldn't do, even though they can. But see, science for some reason thinks because they can that they should for the sake of science, and they end up screwing a whole lot of stuff up. Like somewhere down the road, your children or your grandchildren are going to be exposed to, when they're going to have a baby, they're going to have a DNA test, and they're going to have, he has a certain percentage of this, his IQ is going to be generally this, his hair color is going to be this, and they go down the road of all the genetics of that child that's in the womb of the wife, and then the science, because they can, they're going to start taking out genes and putting in genes to make them smarter, make them stronger, make them faster, make them more aggressive, less aggressive. Whatever the traits of the parents or the culture of that time thinks is the best way to go. Now see, that's very unethical, but it is doable. And to me, if capitalism were to start looking at things from an ethical and morality basis before decisions was made, it would pretty much be a dang near perfect way to do business. Because just because you can go to a foreign country and get people to work for 5 cents an hour, an ethical capitalism would not do that. Do you see what I'm saying? If, like to me, an ethical type capitalistic society would be, if the workers want a bigger share of the company, they need to go off the hourly rate and go on a percentage of profit rate. If the company's doing good and they're doing good, they make more money. But at the same time, if the company's not doing as good and they're not doing as good a job because they're taking long breaks and they're playing on social media and all the stuff that happens in the real world today, their paycheck would be affected from it just like the business owner. See, that's more of an ethical way to pay people, to me. It's commission, not hourly. It gives the good people a chance to make more money, and it gives the bad employees what their real value is to that company until they decide to go try to play somewhere else and take money from somebody else. See, that's an ethical way of doing business. So I don't think that capitalism is perfect. Because capitalism really does, if you look at it honestly, it really does give a massive advantage to someone that is smarter, someone that is more creative, and someone that can get his whole hands on capital to use that creativity and that smartness and put it into a value for a customer. Now, it's not really fair, and I'm not saying that the world should be fair, but if someone has a lot lower IQ and they're not creative because of their either genetic makeup or their culture they come from, it's going to be really hard for them to get out of the hourly pay rate. So if capitalism was ethical, more ethical, than it is, instead of just Darwinism of the survival of the fittest, I think there would be ways, which I don't know what these are. I mean, you know, I'm just talking off the top of my head. But I do know there would be a better way to mesh capitalists and workers where everybody is better off. I think as humans, we can figure that out if we choose to. See, but the problem is now, you're either 100% worker, and you hate business owners, which, and the Marxists actually admitted in there, it's based off of envy for the most part. And envy and greed of the workers because they don't have what someone else had. That's a nasty, nasty disease in human beings. Or you're 100% for the business owner and the workers are just a cog in the wheel. See, I'm not sure that's the most ethical way to look at employees. I know it's not, to look at them like a cog in the wheel. You know, because it's just a cog. I think there's a way, and some businesses go way out of their way to do this. Now, but if people were taught ethics like it's really beat on inside of permaculture, with capitalism would look very different today than it does. You know, back when you hear about all the robber barons and all that stuff, if you look at the true history, most of what people believe is so far from the truth, it's unbelievable. But, you know, you're looking at kids working in sweatshops and factories, cutting up meat and losing limbs and stuff like that. You know, that as bad as that was, those people wanted to be there because a lot of kids, if they didn't get those jobs, they were going to starve to death in the rural areas. You know, we have to look at everything through a prism of reality of the time instead of a prism of what we want to see from where we're standing today. Because the world has changed. People have changed a lot. A lot of it for the good and some of it not so much. But ethical capitalism, if it was taught that way, that's what's so cool, like I said, about permaculture. When I make a decision, is it going to be good for the farmer or the gardener? Or the homeowner or the landowner? Is it going to make their job easier or worse? Is it going to give them production or is it going to cause excess labor? Or is something I'm going to do now just because it's expedient, which is the way a lot of capitalism is done now, just for the quarter or just for the year, and you don't think about anything else besides that next paycheck inside of capitalism, you can do some things that are very destructive to people and livelihoods and different things like that. So the way businesses are based off the quarter now, it's not very ethical because the CEO is just trying to keep his job another quarter because shareholders will kick him out. So he's making bad decisions inside of a capitalist society because of the way that the system does not look at ethics. Now, you would think that a business owner or CEO of a company could go to the shareholders and go, we need to do A, B, C, and D and stop doing E and F because E and F is killing us for future revenue. And we're not going to make as much money over the next 2 years as we build this part up from A, B, and C. So the stocks are greater 5 years from now. Production is higher. Employees will not want to leave because we're doing this, that, and the other. This is what we need to do. If a CEO in the capitalistic society of today were to say that, he would be loading boxes out of his office within 20 minutes. Because people only care about their next dividend. See, that's not ethical. Not to the business or the employees or the workers of that business. But one of the things that really stood out to me from the Marxist, now I think this was coming from an envy or someone that looks at the world as this should be all fair, which it's not or never going to be, is in a capitalistic society, income flows up. And not only does it flow up, it congregates at the top. And this is true. This is very true. And you can see this all through the business world. It flows up and it stays at the top. And there's not really any type of trickle down, even though that's what you hear all the time on Fox Business News. Because what's being done in those companies is not based on ethics, it's based on the next quarter. The capital keeps staying at the top. And he was like, this is a problem. And I can see why someone would look at that and go, that is a problem. Now, the reason that I'm bringing this up, because if you understand that that's a truth, and there's a lot of different ways someone could spin what I just said. Well, you know, they deserve it. They put in more risk. They all that. Forget all the reasons that capital in a capitalistic society, that income and wealth flows up and congregates at the top. If you can just grasp that, what does that mean to the individual that lives in a system that is based on capitalism? What does that really mean to the individual? It means if you're not on the entrepreneur, creative, business side, that the income over your life is going to stay stagnant and you're going to struggle for the most part. That's what that means in the real world. And if your children are taught, which they are today, that business owners are bad, capitalism is bad, that they should just cooperate and graduate, which is an army term to get through a school in the military so you get a badge or you get a better chance of promotion. If you just cooperate and graduate with the educational system and go get a job, because that's what your kids are being taught. They're not being taught anything about wealth creation. And they follow that path in a capitalistic society, and the wealth flows up and stays up, and the worker at the bottom, it does not. What type of plan is that for children? I think it's pretty freaking sick, really. Because the people that sponsor the schools have the created wealth in the congregated wealth. Do you think they want to just share that with everybody? No. That's why the school system is set up off the old, actually a Russian model to get factory workers as employees. That's why what is being taught is being taught. But see, if you think like a free person, and you don't just listen to experts, because I can tell you right now, my view of experts is getting lower and lower and lower. If you listen to the experts and the school counselors and everybody else, and you follow that path, and it doesn't matter if you're 14 years old or 40, if you follow that path and you can see that the wealth flows up in a capitalistic society and congregates, and you choose not to get on the wealth building side of capitalism, you're setting yourself up for a lot of heartache and a lot of struggle. Not because, you know, I know all the country songs make it sexy to struggle. Screw that. It's much nicer in life if you don't have to struggle. But if you realize you don't have to struggle, because of the system that we're in, that me and you do not have the influence to change, and you learn how to get on the wealth creation side of the equation of our system, now you're in a whole different world than somebody that followed the fake wisdom of an expert that tells them to go to school, get A's, go to college. Doesn't matter if you take your college in, you know, 1600 lesbian studies, women's, amazing, whatever, feminist degree, as long as you get that degree, you're going to be set for life. Now, reality is showing now that that is not the case at all. And what frustrates me with the system that we have and what people don't get on the wealth creation side is they're doing it to themselves because they're following the pack. Now, right now in America, we don't have to follow the pack. We don't have to do what the experts do. We don't have to literally pay for a house to get a degree to get a $9 job somewhere. We don't have to. What would it mean to a young person if they're going to spend $100,000 anyway? What if a parent were to figure out, okay, we're going to figure out what your passions are. We're going to learn how to be a wealth creator. We're going to learn all the social capital side, the SEO, the internet side, the bookkeeping side, the marketing side, all of this stuff. That's going to be your mission. And when everybody else is going to college and spending the same debt, giving it to a progressive, exploitive school system that's only there to enrich themselves, we're gonna help you in starting a business. Don't give them $100,000. Start with 20. Start with 10. Start with 5. Whatever it is. And if they fail at a couple of them, they'll learn. But if they also understand, because people have this very interesting characteristic that's in every single person, it's called self-interest. If they understand in their personal self-interest that they're better off being a wealth creator than always staying on the bottom rungs of a capitalistic society, they're going to pay a little bit more attention to what they're doing. And they're going to learn from it. So even if it's a couple of businesses down the road, I mean, you can go out and cut yards and make as much or more than most college graduates do today. So it's not like you have to have that to make a living. But if you teach them, or you teach yourself how to think more creatively, how to see the opportunities that are around you everywhere, you don't have to choose to be on the bottom rung of capitalism, because wealth does flow up and it does congregate up. And you have the choice of where you're going to be inside of this system. I mean, this is not old school Russia where they told you what you were going to do. You can be a wealth creator tomorrow if you choose to be so. It's totally up to you. And to me, the reason I always hark on the children, and I don't even have any, the reason I hark on that is because if you want to have a free place in the world, it's probably going to be here. And it's only going to be here if parents take back what their children believe. And if you teach them to be creators, they will be creators. If you teach them to be employees on the bottom of the rung of wealth creation, they're going to be employees on the bottom rung of the wealth creation. There's always going to be employees. And there's always going to be wealth creation or creators. It's up to you to decide which one of those you want to be. Now, everybody always wants to say, well, I'd rather be a wealth creator. But you know, I can't because, well, I'm too busy at work doing this. I'm invested in this. I've got to stay to my pension. And you stay on that rung when you're making the choice to. It's sad to me that people make this choice on a daily basis. So it's up to you. if you understand what that Marxist was saying, and he was absolutely true, which side of the wealth creation do you want to be on? And if you make that decision, then you're going to have to act on it. And you're going to have to, what in the anarchical, anarchy world, what this means is you're going to have to do unschooling or self-education. So you're going to have to find places that you can go and learn the things you haven't been taught. And most of the time, that's in today's world, that's books, podcasts, business courses from people that actually do stuff. It's not that expensive. It's not. If you were to just take 10% of your income and buy books and read them, which most people don't do, this is the reason most people are not on the wealth creation side, and you read about entrepreneurs that have succeeded in how they did it and how they thought, you will start thinking that way, because what you put in is what you're going to get out. Totally up to you. So what's it going to be? The non-wealth creation side or the wealth creation side? You can step across it any time you want to.